Hi, good morning. Let's pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, we just pray that your Holy Spirit will be at work among us now, speaking to us from your word, encouraging, blessing and changing us through it. Amen. You may find it helpful to keep your Bibles open at John 17, the reading we just read, verses 9 to 12. Don't many love fairy tale type marriages and families? Then maybe you do. Perhaps this is because they sort of represent to us a sort of closeness, love and intimacy we deeply long for. And perhaps that's one reason why there's such a fascination, even in Republican nations, with royal marriages and family pictures of royals. And maybe that's one reason for the feeling of disappointment when it became known that it wasn't working between Charles and Diana. But there is a love and a relationship that never fails. Now, we've been hearing from Dave and Dan in the last 2 weeks that Jesus' most amazing prayer in John 17 reveals that God the Father and God the Son are, with God the Holy Spirit in the Trinity, in the closest possible perfect intimacy and love. And blessings flow out from this perfect love. Last week, Dan was telling us about two of these blessings, that Jesus reveals his Father so that we can know him in a deep and personal way. And that he does this by giving us his word. Now this week, from verses 9 to 12, we think about two more of these blessings. These blessings are that God chooses us and that he protects us. So we look at God choosing us first, verses 9 and 10. Now, the four gospel accounts, that's Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, record Jesus choosing his first disciples to follow him. Now, these are the disciples who would accompany Jesus and learn from him while he was on earth, teaching and doing his miracles. But verse 9 here, in this passage that we're looking at today, indicates why Jesus chose those particular disciples, because the Father had given them to him. See, Jesus chose the disciples because the Father had already chosen those who belonged to him, to belong to him. Now, as these disciples were the beginning of the church, which we, if we're Christians, are part of, the same applies to us. God chose us to belong to him. See, God has a special love and care for us. So, through faith in Christ, we are included in God's love, the love between the Father and the Son. See, Jesus has brought us into this love. Yes, this does raise the difficult question about those who don't come to faith in Christ. What about them? Now, we're not given all the answers here, but we are told in the Bible that God chooses those who come to faith in Jesus. However, this truth is not to make us doubt whether people we love and pray for to come to faith in Christ are chosen or not. No, I think we're to assume that everyone we have an opportunity to share the good news of Jesus with are potentially chosen by God. See, God's call to repent goes out to every person. Everyone's included in that call. The Bible says he commands all people everywhere to repent. See, when we first put our trust in Christ, it's a bit like, if I can use this illustration, walking through a doorway over which a sign says, commanding us to repent, turn away from sin, turn to Christ. Well, then we obey, we then repent, turn from our sin and turn to Christ and, as it were, go through the door. And now know God in a personal, deep and intimate way. But if we look behind at the door we just come through, we now see that the notice on this side of the door says, chosen by God. You see, we turn to Christ only because we are chosen by God in the first place. Now, that we are chosen by God is a truth that is meant to be tremendously encouraging and reassuring to us if we're believers. Now, can you see and feel that this morning? Now, remember, these verses do not say anything about the quality and ability of the disciples Jesus chose. And that's really good news. And it's very important. But this is actually very different to people being chosen, for example, for a school sports team, who are inevitably those who can play the best and help the team to win. Needless to say, I was never chosen for any school sports team. And what about applications for a job? It's the person most qualified to do the job who is the one the employer would want to choose. But Jesus chose his first disciples not on their ability or quality. It was only according to the Father's choice, God's sovereign grace. See, in fact, the disciples did not have much to commend them at all. Even after they were called, they're a bit of a motley crew, weren't they? For example, they argued among themselves as to who was the greatest. And of course, they're slow to believe and really understand about Jesus. It's the same for us. See, unlike being chosen for a sports team or a job, God's choosing of us to belong to him is not because we are qualified or deserve to be chosen. Rather, God's choice of us is very undeserved. It's out of his grace, out of the love of the Father and the Son. Totally undeserved. You see, there's no quality or virtue in us that attracts God to us and makes him choose us. Yes, while we all share in God's image and can and do say good things, the fact is these things don't commend us to God or force him to save us. Now, at the baptism and in the prayer confession, we are reminded that we all need forgiveness. Why? Because sin has tainted and spoiled every aspect of our lives, even the good things we do. The Bible says all our good works are actually like filthy rags. Yes, even our good works. Well, they would be, wouldn't they, compared to God's glorious holiness. So, we're naturally, totally unqualified to belong to God. But the amazing thing is, despite this, despite our sinfulness, if we're Christians, we can know for sure that God still loves us and chose us to belong to him. Why? Because of Jesus' death on the cross, which made God's choice of us possible by Jesus taking God's wrath against our sin in our place. See, Jesus paid that incredible price to choose us so we can be chosen. We're of that value to God. He loves us that much. Now, sometimes we feel, you know, we're slow to understand things about God, or maybe we feel we have too little faith. Or maybe we're aware of our sin and failings, or that we'll never make the grade to be good enough for God. Or that our lives are sort of like too much in a mess for God to have much time for us. Well, actually, it's true of all of us, it's true of me, that none of us can ever be good enough for God to choose us. But the amazing fact is, if we're Christians, he has chosen us anyway, out of his love and grace, to belong to him. And as God chooses the unlikely, such as us, that means we should never give up praying and talking about Jesus to family and friends who so often seem so far away from God and disinterested in Jesus. But you see, there's no type of person who is a sort of a Christian type of person. God chooses and includes people from all backgrounds, including yours, to include us in the perfect love between the Father and the Son, to belong to him. So God chose us. Now we come to the second main point to think about this morning, which is that Jesus prays for our protection. This is in verses 11 and 12. Now, is it not true that the greater the value of some items, or the more that was paid for them, the greater the level of security to protect them? Now, the largest houses often have the most security, don't they? The electronic gates, alarms and so on. And the most valuable museum exhibits and paintings, and certainly gold and jewels, have the most rigorous security protection. See, the greater the value of an item, the more elaborate and tight the level of security. Now, look down at verses 11 and 12, where Jesus prays this. Holy Father, Protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me. Now, we have to be clear, this is not a promise of protection from difficulty or suffering. The Bible doesn't promise that while we're in this world, in this age. The disciples did go through difficult times and suffering for Jesus, even eventually martyrdom. Rather, the reason Jesus prayed for protection for his disciples is so that there may be one, and so that none will be lost from him. Now, the reason he prays this is because he's just about to go back to his Father in heaven, while the disciples would remain in the world, which would often be hostile. So let's look very briefly at each of these reasons Jesus prays for his disciples. Unity, and that none will be lost from him. First, unity. In 3 weeks' time, we'll be thinking more about this unity Jesus has brought Christian believers into and its importance for our mission. But you see, disunity is obviously one of the evils that the disciples would need protection from. And look at the end of verse 11, where Jesus prays, "We may be one as he and the Father are one." See, this means this unity will happen because of the perfect unity between Jesus and the Father that Christians have been drawn into to share. And of course, Jesus gets his prayers answered. The second reason Jesus prays for protection for his disciples is so that none of them will be lost. Look down at verse 12. Jesus prays, "While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by that name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that scripture will be fulfilled." Now, the one doomed to destruction refers to Judas, whose betrayal of Jesus was the way God planned to ensure Jesus went to the cross for our sins. So apart from the special case of Judas, none of the disciples were lost. Now think of some of the dangers they went through. For example, being caught in a furious storm on the lake when they feared they were going to drown. And they were with Jesus for some of the times he faced hostility. And after this prayer, when Jesus was arrested, all of them fled. And of course, Peter denied him. But Jesus restored them because he lost none of them. He kept them. Now what Jesus is praying here is that as none of the other 11 disciples were lost while he was with them on earth, may none be lost in the future. We've seen that the Father gave to Jesus those people he chose. So it's inevitable, it makes sense, that it's God's will that none who belong to God, who God chose, would be lost. That it is God's will that no believer will be lost is shown in another passage in John's Gospel. I'll just read it to you. It's in chapter 6. Jesus says this: "This is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all those he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day." So Jesus, out of the love and closeness between him and the Father, and due to his death and resurrection, will ensure none of us who believe in him will be lost. Our being raised from the dead and our eternal life in the new creation is absolutely certain if we believe. So, this protection means God keeps the Christian believer safe with him in his love forever. And did you notice that Jesus prayed that we'd be kept safe by the Father's name, the name he gave him? Now, in the Bible, someone's name represents that person's whole character, work and action. So being kept by God's name means we're kept safe from being lost from him. How? By the very being, character, love, faithfulness and power of the omnipotent, all-powerful God. That's the level of security that God is protecting us by in order to keep us safe with him in his love forever. Now in the prayer in John 17, Jesus is actually looking forward to the ongoing mission of the disciples in the world after he had returned to the Father in heaven. So the prayer for the protection of the disciples is particularly in this context of the church's mission, which is to proclaim the message of the good news of Christ. So he's praying that they'll be protected in their mission from, you know, in a hostile world. Now we may sometimes feel alone and even vulnerable being the only Christian believer in the workplace. And if we do say something about Jesus, we might wonder if we'll get into trouble. Now I remember that many years ago, I got told off by my boss for sharing my faith with a colleague. Nowadays it's worse. Christians can even be disciplined for speaking about Jesus in the workplace. It's happening to an NHS worker, I think, in Bedford now. Or sometimes you may go through suffering or difficult times personally or in our families when our faith comes under attack. But Jesus has prayed to the Father to protect us, to protect our faith, so that we are kept safe in him by his whole being and power. And of course, Jesus' prayers are answered. And we've seen in this passage, haven't we, to sum up, that we have been chosen to belong to God and included in his love. And so he keeps us united and safe in him forever. What wonderful, such incredible love. So to conclude, may I ask you, have you walked through, do you remember the illustration of the doorway to walk through? Have you walked through that doorway that says, repent, turn from sin, turn to Christ, so that you know that you are chosen and safe with Christ forever? Is a doorway open to all who genuinely turn to trust in and live for Christ? You may find it helpful to find out more by coming on the identity course, which is to start very soon in May, and which explains who Jesus is and what it means to follow him. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the perfect love and intimacy between you and your Son. That means those who trust in your Son are chosen and included in your love and are protected by your powerful name to be united and safe with you forever. Amen.
Thank you, Philip. I hope you're encouraged by that. Great news. If we're in Christ, we know we are chosen. Chosen in him. One of the images the Bible uses for the way that Jesus looks after us is as a shepherd.